Hi, HR Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives in the world's leading global brands. Super excited for today's episode. We're joined by Kim Sullivan, Chief People Officer at Concentrix. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
It's nice to see you.
I'm in Houston, Texas. The weather's good and it's a good week so far.
So now you're just showing off now at this point as well. So like, I think the last message I saw in my WhatsApp group was some of our family in Canada that was snowed in.
couldn't even get out
the door. Pictures. I was like, what's going on? And we're moaning about rain in the UK. That's all we moan about over here.
Yes, we are typically complaining about heat, but we've had some cold days, which we complain about that too. But yeah. But it's actually good today. It's some good weather to get today.
Nice. So, but aside from that, how have you been? How are you? How are the family?
I have been well, very busy. The new year always, you know, means kickoff meetings, board meetings. It's been busy. My life is always very busy personally as well. I have four children, three of whom are adults. I have a 9-year-old who just started playing lacrosse. So every Saturday is spent at lacrosse tournaments. So we had a 2-day tournament last weekend. So it requires me to be focused and, you know, really thinking about making sure that I'm paying attention to his games, because I swear to God, he always sees, he will say, "I saw you looking at your phone."
No.
So, I'm like,
middle of the game,
playing?
He's like looking over like, "Mom, what are you doing?" Right. I'm killing it over here.
How are you playing if you see me on your phone? So I have to be very mindfulness. I have to practice mindfulness
in the present.
Chris, and pay attention. Yes.
It's hard, right? It's not always easy, especially with our devices. It's like we're like glued to them. It's impossible.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to build up this habit where I leave my phone outside of my bedroom, like leave it in the living room and then go to bed without it.
Yeah.
And I even instinctively put my hand under the pillow to grab the phone that is no longer there. That's how bad the habit is, because I'm so used to doing it. Yeah, it's like really hard, like, you know, as well. But yeah, we're conditioned that way. Lacrosse is an interesting one, by the way. Like, we don't have that
in
Europe. Like, it's not a thing. Like, I don't think, like, if you ask most kids in the UK what lacrosse is, they're like, what's that?
Well, if you ask most kids in the US, they don't know what it is.
Really?
That's one of the things that my 9-year-old said. He said, no one knows what lacrosse is.
Really?
He really enjoys it. I know what lacrosse is because I have a 23-year-old son who is a student athlete, mm-hmm. and he plays football is his main sport, but he played three sports throughout high school, and lacrosse was one of those.
Yeah.
So I do have, you know, but I still don't know all the rules, and you know, I'm like, you can hit a person with the stick, but you can't tackle them because, you know, but you can run over them. They call it running up. So it's
pretty physical, right? I'm sure there's some bumps and bruises
it
and
is.
Cuts
it's
when
intense.
They get when,
yeah.
when they get home.
It's very intense.
Shane and I grew up playing ice hockey, which is very strange. For someone who lives in the UK as well, so people are always surprised, they're like, really, they have ice hockey in the UK? We're like, yeah, not a huge scene, but yeah, a lot of injuries, I don't even know how our parents even let us do that, if I'm being honest. Like, you let us go on yeah, it's crazy.
I think my oldest son did a couple of years of ice hockey. I remember that. And it was but ice hockey on a iced ground, because we don't actually have mm-hmm. but you all weren't playing on an ice like,
what, a lake?
Cold ice, right?
Yeah, no, of course, an ice rink. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, they were playing on an ice rink, so yeah, that's exactly. I didn't realize that's not big in the UK.
No, it's very rare. Well, tell everyone a bit more about you, your Chief People Officer Concentrix. Tell everyone a little bit about the business that perhaps may not be aware of the organization.
So Concentrix is a large, growing organization. We have, we're a global customer experiences and technologies company. And we provide support to the world's best brands. So you may say, okay, Kim, what does that mean? We have a few different divisions that we focus on as a business. We have a huge customer service experience division, where we have outsourcing, we support companies all over the world. We have a digital engineering and digital technology organization. And then we have a growing app development, or software engineering department that's growing. We employ over 285,000 employees across 43 countries. And I've been with the company a little over 2 years, and I get to take care of our best asset, you know, our assets or our best clients and customers every day, who are our staff, those 285,000 people. So it is exciting work. And we've grown very quickly in the past 10 years. So it oftentimes feels like a really big startup in terms of, you know, the work that we have to get done to support the organization.
Wow. I didn't realize, I knew it was, I knew it was big, but I didn't realize it was that big.
It's big. Well. It's a lot. And you know, when you add, look, we have busy jobs, right? And then you add scale. When you layer on scale, it just creates that much more complexity and need to be for processes. But we also want to always remain nimble and be scrappy. So you try, we have to balance all of that to take care of. And
because the bigger you get, the harder it is to be agile and nimble,
absolutely,
right? And that in the first place was what your most companies' competitive advantage is.
That's right.
So you kind of get to this middle ground where it's like, how do we continue to do that at the same time? As well, and I'm sure you yourself and the team and the functions also scaling right internally in your own HR function. Just out of interest, what do you think just fueled the growth in your industry and your business so much?
I think that, you know, one, as companies look at their trying to contain costs, reduce costs, that's one opportunity. So when you think of our BPO business line of business, that's one way. I also believe this, the focus on more digital movement, I can't speak. All of the changes that companies are going through around automation and digital innovation, that in itself also is driving a lot of growth. And that there's just tons of market share out there, untapped market share. And so we are best positioned as an organization to provide the best experience for our customers from a customer perspective, but also we put a lot of effort in place around our talent, our people, to have the best engagement. And so I think, you know, as companies have evaluated their internal strategies and their abilities to deliver the best services to their customers, it has created an even bigger need for companies, for Concentrix, to provide support and consultation for those employees, for those companies.
So you must have quite fun and interesting conversations with other chief HR officers then, because in many ways you're supplying talent.
Absolutely.
To those in, you know, it's like, you see what I mean? Of course you know what I mean, to those conversations. Yes. So it must be, you're kind of like seeing it from two different lenses.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the benefits that we provide, and we do really well, and this is why we focus on our engagement so much, significant, it's so significant, important for us, is because we are supplying talent. We're providing people to do literally everything. We have this growing global analytics team with these very, you know, data architects and people who do analysts. We have a team that provides consultation and ideas around how to redesign your web page and just anything that touches the customer experience. And it's all about talent. It's all about people, which is wonderful for an HR professional because we get to contribute to all of those ideas in so many different ways.
Yeah, you're kind of living and breathing it and sitting
every
single day. How are you then sort of, how does that then elevate your own people function to enable, you know, the business transformation as you grow so rapidly, and that in itself is a challenge.
So we have some of the challenges that every company has. One, so to answer your question, let me start with elevating the function. So when you think about the work that we have to do, we have a strict, our HR strategy lays out three big strategic priorities. One is about providing a fanatical experience for our employees, and that's our processes, moving away from spreadsheets and using automation, and also how we're structured. So we've rolled out a new service delivery model with regional shared services teams across the organization, and we're looking to implement an employee relations or HR shared services global solution so that we're not doing everything manual. So that's one thing, and we have good reporting.
So at the moment, with that many employees, you're doing it manually right now.
We do a lot.
Wow.
There's a lot of so one of our
But you can't wait.
We can't wait. That's all. Every meeting I have with my team, I say, what's the stuff? I always ask this question. What are the things that you all talk about when I'm not around? And you say, if only Kim would do this.
That's a good question.
What is that? Yeah. And they always say automation. We need to invest, you know, more automation, more technology.
It's good you have that relationship by the way, that you have to stay, have the psychological safety to say that to you. And that you're asking it from a genuine place, clearly.
I always say to my team, a part of my work, part of my job is to ensure that I focus on excellence. I'm not a perfectionist, but I want our team to be excellent. And so when I push and drive and give feedback, I want us to deliver excellence as a team. But one of the ways that I do that is I need to hear where we have opportunities, what we're doing well, but also where we have opportunities. So I do ask a lot of feedback. I do a lot of skip level meetings, focus groups, because I really do care about what's going on. But I also have been in their shoes. I've been in HR.
You know, the frustrations as well, right? You're like, when you have a leader that doesn't listen or doesn't even not open to feedback, and it's only a good idea if it's their idea.
Exactly. And I've lived it. Yeah, I've been in many, many different roles across HR. So I know exactly what they're experiencing, and I want to do better, and I want to help find solutions.
Mm-hmm. So have you already kind of, I'm not asking you to say it on the podcast, but have you already decided, you know, who you're going with, like the Oracle, the Workdays, the SAPs? Have you already finalized the decision?
So we have Workday. We do have that as a HR system. Mm-hmm. We're looking at, in terms of technology solutions. So what we need now is employee experience platform. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we're looking at, so a few of them that we've looked at NeoCase, we've looked at ServiceNow, we've looked at Lena AI, which is a new mm-hmm. growing startup company. So we're looking at organizations that actually have the ability to scale, that can support organizations of scale, but also has really sophisticated bot technology as well.
Sure, because you need those integrations, right? And the APIs. So that's where it gets super complicated.
We want to have one seamless experience. While we do have different systems across the organization, we want to mm-hmm. have one seamless experience for every employee. When they log in, they have the ability to say, hey, I want to know how many PTO hours I have. So similar to the way in which we use Siri and Alexa technology.
It should be that simple, right? It should be intuitive.
It should be that simple. Absolutely.
You shouldn't even have to send a video of like how you use this.
No.
You've already lost. If you have to explain like how this works, then you've already lost.
And we don't have that much patience nowadays anyway. No. Think about
the new generation, definitely
video,
not.
If it's a 2-minute video, we're like, how much longer is this? So no, we don't.
We've got TikTok. It's 15 seconds now. That's all you got.
Right, exactly. And that's true.
Yeah. Have you then like what's the process you've taken then? Are you like piloting different with each of those sort of companies and then making a decision based on that? Our audience always have those questions of like, you know, there's a million shiny objects out there and so many companies. It's hard to, and they all claim to solve the problem and a solution. What's been the approach of this for the decision making process?
So we've gone through a very intensive, and the reason I say intensive, time intensive, as well as assessment, the assessment process has been intensive. It's been over a year. It took longer than we expected, but we spent over a year looking at different solutions that can support an organization of our size, looking at criteria. So we have a very traditional RFP process where you look at different organizations from a capability perspective, but also a pricing perspective. But we looked at, you know, we determined our requirements. We gather requirements from across the organization based on what's in place today. So for example, we have some of our regions that have a really sophisticated, well-organized onboarding process, whereas we have other regions that don't have anything in place. It's all manual. And so we gather requirements across the different regions to determine when it comes to onboarding and case management and how do you capture cases? Is there reporting capability? We wanted to do all of that because what we didn't want to do was just take a one size fits all approach, but we wanted to understand what's already in place because we may be able to build onto that.
Yeah.
And this is, that project is also part of our digital strategy. And
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
And we narrowed it down to two final vendors.
Oh, in they're battling it out. Can you share that or not? Can I ask you that, who they are?
There are two that we're interested in, Lena AI, mm-hmm. and then we've looked at NeoCase.
Oh, we'll see. They might be listening right now being like, what do we need to do to battle it out as well. No, thank you for sharing that, because there's so many leaders that are going to be in a similar position to you who perhaps haven't in the future. It's important for them to understand that as well, but you have to start there and work your way backwards, right? You can't be like looking at feature and benefits of the product without what we're trying to solve. we're not getting this just for the sake of it.
and that's absolutely, those are the things that we really have to be mindful of, right? What are you trying to solve for, and what outcomes do you want to get? Mm-hmm. And it's very easy. There's so many solutions out there today. There's so much technology, and some of them are cool, very cool, but you really do have to understand, because the shiny popular tool may not be the best solution for the company. Yeah. So we really have to understand, you know, what's most important for the population of your employee population, your business today, the needs in the future, and what problems are you trying to fix? And that's really critical. You know, what's the business problem? What problem are you trying to solve?
Mm-hmm. Is it all of those questions that you said, like, you know, very casually are so important for everyone listening? I want to make sure you said that, you know, like they're very simple, but there's so many times I see the opposite happen. As well. And I'm sure you've perhaps learned from mistakes in the past or that you've seen happen within functions that you've been in. You spend a whole year on something and it never even comes for life. And it's so frustrating, disheartening for the team and for the employees as well.
I think one of the lessons that I learned, a very valuable lesson fairly early, I guess mid-career, is I was hired on a job and the solution, the technology, the tool was, I was told, that was a brand new job, brand new process that had never been put in place. And I was hired to do a job. And they said, Kim, we've already signed a contract with this vendor. We want you to build your process using this. And so the lesson learned is you design your process first. You determine the tool that will help deliver that process.
Exactly. Yeah.
Versus the opposite. Because what ended up happening is we wasted thousands of dollars and lots of hours, and we couldn't build the process with that tool. It was not the right solution.
Yeah, I've done that even as a small business. We've had multiple CRMs. We've had multiple, marketing platforms. And we've just tried, and we made the decision based on the features and benefits and the flashy thing and the user experience, whereas we didn't start that way and work our way back, because we would have very clearly seen that actually this doesn't solve our problems that we're looking for.
Absolutely.
And we also was looking for this golden platform that was this one size fits all. I mean, that ticked every box, and we realized it doesn't exist. As well. And so, we've learned the hard way.
And it's important to have, you know, and I know different companies have different resources, right? So smaller companies, startup companies, you may not have a technical, an IT partner or a technical expert that can really do the deep dive that you would, you may need, and that's fine. But you definitely, there are things that you can do, like proof of concepts. Let me play in your system. I want you to design, you know, give me a sample module or an example, a pilot. Let's do a pilot, because I want to make sure you are able to deliver the work that I need to deliver. This tool can provide the support me in the way that I need to. But I think one really strong, important guiding principle is remembering, going back to what problem are you trying to solve, What are you trying to fix? Mm-hmm. And if you keep that in mind as a key principle when selecting technology and thinking about your processes, then that will help you land on the right solution. And like you said, you may not be able to check every box, and typically you aren't, but you'll get pretty close if you keep those guiding principles in mind.
Yeah. So to make it something to bring it to light for everyone listening, then I don't want to make this a sales pitch, but when you looked at, you said Lena AI, is that the company? Mm-hmm. What was it about that platform then that you said, I can see how that solves some of these problems specifically for Lena AI?
They have a very sophisticated bot technology. So they are marketing themselves as the Siri for employees. They wanted to provide for employees what Siri provides. And in fact, I think they would be great to, if you ever talk to vendors, but they have so it's not just kind of the traditional portal that everyone goes and signs into a portal.
No one cares about the what are they called? The SharePoint drive or whatever.
SharePoint. Yeah, exactly.
Who's going to, I can't wait to log into my SharePoint and see what's happening.
And that's exactly. And you nailed it exactly. So the portal, there are lots of people who like portals, right? But if you think about how we engage and how we use technology today, we're not logging in to a portal, right? It's the information and the access is there at your fingertips. And I think about like my 9-year-old who uses the phone differently, or my phone. He's always taken capturing my phone. But so when I need to look up a word, for example, like I'm always looking up the definition of a word, a synonym. So he and I were working on his spelling words, and rather than typing it in or whatever, you know, typically I'm writing something and so I'm looking for definition or something, but he goes, "Hey Siri, how do you spell XYZ? You know, how do you spell?" I thought, well, that's not the way you're going to learn how to spell. And he goes, "Yeah, that's what Siri is there for. It's that you should use it, Mom." So
it's so true, though. Like
their technology, right?
Even my 3-year-old daughter understands what our Alexa is, and she asks, and she knows that she knows that she can ask Alexa. It doesn't understand her because she doesn't say it properly half the time.
Yeah,
but she tries to, you know, LOL is like sort of the cartoon that she watches, and there's like certain like songs she says, Alexa, play this, but it doesn't really understand her because she's not pronouncing it right. But she gets it, right? And she hears me every day saying, "Alexa, what time it is?" Or, "Alexa, call me an Uber." Or, "Alexa," you know, because I use it. They're all over my house. You're right. And even very, very early on, we put the HR Leaders podcast on Alexa. It was the first HR podcast on Alexa. Because
I was like,
in the future, people, like, I feel like the audio, like, that is the future. You know, people,
absolutely,
they're not even going to pick up a phone or a device. No. They're just going to say out loud what they want, and
that's
it's
right,
going to appear. So so how would that work in practical sense? What the, it would link on their phone and they can say, you know, how many days do I have left on holiday?
Leave,
or like, yeah, how would that work?
I'll tell you this before I answer your question. So my 9-year-old was the same way. He would say, and he couldn't, his speech was not fully, or he couldn't understand. He would say, "Aletta, play move it.
Yeah, exactly what I want about.
Play exactly. move it. So the way it works is it's integrated technology with there's a mobile capability, but it's integrated technology with your internal system, so your Teams, Slack, SharePoint drives, so whatever, basically, you know, resource internal solutions you have, then it's integrated in that technology in that way, or with your platforms in that way.
But can you speak to it the same way you would speak to Alexa or Siri? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah,
that's really
cool. New.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. So you've gone 0 to 100. You've gone from like
zero
not having
to 100.
From not having, you know, that system in globally, which is clearly what you're working on, to really at the forefront of creating a truly employee experience. Whereas rather than you trying to drag them to you, you're going to them. This is how they consume content. So why are we trying to drag them to us? I love that. Fascinating. Gonna check it out.
Absolutely.
I know, obviously, a big area, another area that you're super passionate about is you know, I'm talking about operationalizing, you know, through culture, through community, through DEI, through well-being. Talk us more about some of the areas there that you're passionate about and the work that you're embarking on this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk, so companies, leaders, people talk a lot about culture. And oftentimes you hear people, we talk about it in a very positive way, which is a good thing, right? And we talk about all the good things about it. What often happens in my experience is that it's not clear to people how you actually operationalize it. And so one of the ways, how do you make it tangible and practical, and how does it show up in your processes and your tools? And so one of the ways that we have operationalized culture at Concentrix is through our talent processes. So that's one example. So if we say our commitment to you, Chris, if you join Concentrix or when you join Concentrix, is to create this fanatical staff experience or this fanatical experience for you. Number one, your offer letter should read like a love letter to candidates. That's one thing that I talk about all the time.
I love the word fanatical, by the way, I haven't heard that word in a long time, but I love it.
That's one of our customer, our culture statements.
I like what it evokes, an emotion. It evokes a feeling. Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so it should start even before you get an offer letter or as a candidate. But you should, when you get that offer letter, it should read like a love letter, right? Here's what it means to work at Concentrix. Here's what it means to work for our company. And then that onboarding process should be a great experience. It shouldn't be disjointed or you like, I don't know who to call. I don't know who to contact. I don't have all the tools that I need. That is a way to operationalize the culture. And then processes, we are going through this journey. So we are working through this journey, just like many other companies, but your processes, your people processes shouldn't be painful. And sometimes we have painful processes and for many different reasons. It could be that it's manual, we're using spreadsheets, right, or documents. Or it could be that we've designed a very painful process even using technology, because sometimes we'll design a very complicated and over-engineered process. So when I talk about operationalizing culture, that's one way that it shows up. Another is, you know, linking that connecting culture to DE&I, to well-being. And that means any leadership development training you do, you're talking about how to operationalize culture and what's your role as a leader in culture, because leaders are the ones who actually demonstrate culture every day.
Culture doesn't live with HR.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And I tell people all the time, well, we may be the business owner of the project or the work for culture, HR people, we're just delivering, we're facilitating it. It has to show up in leader behaviors, and sometimes it shows up in bad ways, you know, bad behaviors. But if you are really living the culture and you're really operationalizing it, you are being mindful of people's well-being through how you work. How do I model the right behaviors as a leader? Do I engage with people? Am I mindful that you worked a really long week last week to work on a project? So let me think about, you know, how do I support you next week going into the new work? Because I don't want you to be worn out. Yeah. And I don't want you to experience burnout. So what does resilience look like as a leader? So it's all of those, it's really thinking holistically and comprehensively about culture, DE&I, and what are those outcomes you want to accomplish as a team.
Yeah. What kind of, because you know what it means to lead in this, you know, current economic climate, you know, the last couple of years, you know, it's been, you know, developing the leaders who can deliver in this disrupted world that we're living in. What work have you done to support those leaders? You know, we're having conversations that we're not used to having. We're managing teams where half are at home, half's in the office. It's a whole new world for leaders.
Well, we've increased our investment, leadership development and talent investment for our teams. We put in place some signature programs for high potential leaders and for both diverse leaders as well as high potential leaders. We have different signature programs in place for director level, senior director, and we're about to launch a program for VP level leaders. We've also increased, we use Skillsoft as a vendor, so we've increased the offerings that we provide to our staff with more digital classes and technical capabilities so people really understand what does it mean to be digitally native? What, how do you think with a design thinking perspective, point of view, and how does that show up from a customer experience perspective? But there's a lot of work that we've also mandated spot training, which is about recognizing the signs of distress, depression. What are the resources available to you?
So you mandated all of leaders have to go through
all
that.
People managers
great.
Have to
that's
take
great to hear.
Yeah, they have to take DE&I training, which is about, we call it inclusive leadership. So not just DE&I, but inclusive leadership, which is about leading with wellness, thinking, being mindful of people's differences. How do you create inclusion and belonging as a leader? We also mandate that spot training, which is about mental health awareness. That's really what it's about.
What's the reaction been like from the leadership?
It actually has been very positive. So I in the beginning it was slow, the adoption was slow, but so specifically related to the spot training, we had a webinar with nearly, I think, 1,000 participants where we talked about suicide awareness and suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, Chris, that next week, we had nearly a 200% increase in participants. People
they
went
shared.
In and did it. They did it, right, exactly. And that was before we mandated it. So people actually, we shared that we have this training. And so there were folks that went in and completed that actually took the time to complete the training. And then the inclusive leadership, we've included those workshops as part of mandatory new hire training. But we also, in every workshop that all leadership development programs that we provide, we talk about inclusive leadership. So it's embedded in everything that we do.
Love that. Are these led by internal stakeholders?
But yes, so they are, but the facilitators that participate in that deliver content are both internal and external. So we use a lot of our senior leaders, but we also bring in external folks as well.
Who are some of the external people, just out of curiosity, that you brought in that
now you asked me to call these names out with my bad memory.
No, that's right. I'm so like the same, by the way. You asked me that as well. I'm just as bad. Like, who spoke at the last event, Chris? And I'm like, oh my God, how do I not? How can I not answer this question? No worries. If you can't remember all the names, I'm sure there's so many. as well, but I'm glad you because it's kind of like a hard one, because sometimes when you mandate things you get the opposite reaction.
Absolutely.
But I feel like when you're talking about these topics, which are so important, I don't think anyone's arguing there's value in having conversations. And I can't believe they mandated having a conversation around suicide prevention or taking care of the well-being of our employees as well. So I'm glad you took a hard stance on it.
We have. Yeah. And it's important. We hear more and more. I appreciate that people are being much more transparent and comfortable and vulnerable talking about the fact that they are experiencing burnout and their teams are asking about mental health support. And that has been really given me and my team the platform to continue to accelerate and expand the offerings that we provide as a company for our staff around mental health and well-being support.
Yeah, it's also just as important sometimes as a leader when you're in those conversations. I'm sure you do stuff like breakout rooms and other things just to hear that you're not alone.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I'm not the only leader just struggling with these things. And I'm hearing the same thing from my team. And that alone is like such a reassurance. And getting, I actually tried this with my team. Maybe you should try that, right? And just having that community. And especially now where we're all so far apart remotely, you get to connect with people all over the world in those type of digital environments or in person and build those bonds and relationships with different departments and functions as well. That in itself is a huge piece that comes out of a value that comes out of those conversations. And again, like you said earlier, that's what shapes the culture.
Absolutely.
That goes back to that, right? So you spoke Absolutely. About the system element. The processes, this is the other element which shapes what the culture is as well, because people think of culture as this fuzzy word, whereas it actually can be very concrete and hard and tangible as well. So absolutely love that. Well, look, listen, before we can have a whole nother few hours on the conversation, but I'm going to jump into our quick fire round, right? So I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
That's people are like, what have I agreed to? So you've got 30 seconds per answer. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
What are your hobbies and passions outside of the office?
Number one, doing nothing. I have four children, so I try as often as I can to do nothing. But other than that, I love reading. I wish I had more time to read. And I'm reading two books now, The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger and Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I found out my 23-year-old son is reading Atomic Habits, which he needs, so that's a good thing.
Did you even know, or you just so happened to both be reading the same
So
book?
it's funny, I was actually going to send him the book and I was
No
saying, hey, I'm
way.
going to send you a book. And then before I could even finish, he goes, I'm reading this great book called Atomic Habits. And I was
That's
like,
amazing.
yes,
Yeah. Well, by the way,
the gods have intervened.
it's okay to say that your kids are your passion, right? Because going
Oh,
to those
absolutely.
lacrosse games and stuff like that and being there,
Absolutely.
I would definitely say
That's
that. If you could click one thing about kick your fingers, sorry, and change one thing about HR, what would that be?
Oh, well, I would definitely, eliminating the perception that we only need to focus on tactical transactional work, right? That would just advance our work in so much. But on the same, but with that, I would also make sure that we are adding value as PS, as HRBPs. We call our HR team People Solution, but we understand what it means to add value through talent and transformation and enabling business, the culture work.
How do your family and friends and your kids as well, most what's more important, especially describe what you do for a living, where they're like, my mom does this.
So if you ask my husband, you just talk on the phone all the time. That's what he'll say. I have also been told you tell people what to do. I hear you tell, and you just meet all the time. You seem to meet all the time, which my mother thought I was avoiding her. She's like, there's no way you're in that many meetings, but I am, mother. I really am.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Love it. What legacy do you want to leave behind for your family?
Oh, wow. That's just, number one, that I'm a good person. And that, and because I was a good person or am a good person, I've left memorable experiences for them and that I love them deeply and love them deeply and love them deeply. I want them to also know that I was a hard worker because I wanted them to have better and to provide more exposure and experience to them. Not that I was a CHRO, I don't care about that, but that I put in the work to make create the to make a better world for them and the people around me.
Love that. Love that. If you wasn't working in HR, where do you think you'd be working?
So now my interests, I've been doing researching all sorts of things. If you'd asked me that probably, I don't know, 2, 3 years ago, I'd probably say I wanted to pursue kind of an operations path because I spent many years in the retail industry and wanted always kind of wanted to pursue that path. But now at this point in my career, I have an interest in opening a glam camp.
Oh, okay.
And
All
yes.
right.
But also, honestly, I would absolutely pursue, and I am doing that, an interest in just my mission is to help girls and women and help them. So probably more of a philanthropic career path.
Give me the elevator pitch of the glam camp. I need to hear more. Give me the
So it's fancy camping and in really cool tents and on beautiful camping grounds where you get to disconnect, spend time with family, make s'mores, rest, and just
Rejuvenate.
enjoy nature and enjoy the
Yeah.
outdoors.
Yeah, we call that over here glamping.
Yeah, glamping, that's it. It's
Yeah,
glamping. Yeah.
glamping. Yeah, it's definitely.
Yes.
People love it. Yeah, it's an
Yes.
excuse to go camping, drink some prosecco and some wine, and
Yes.
that.
'Cause I have no interest in like the real camping
By
experience,
the way,
just
my
so you
wife's
know.
exactly the same because I do want that. I want that the real
Yeah,
back
no.
camp. She's like, when she describes camping to me, I'm like, that's not camping. That's a resort.
Exactly. That's what I'm going for. Resort, but
Yeah, okay, I'm with
camping.
you. Middle ground. You still get the nature, you
Yes.
still get everything else, but you're not gonna, yeah, I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm with you. What would you say is sort of the biggest investment you've made in yourself in your career?
That's the biggest investment that I made in myself in my career. I'd say number one, and I didn't make this investment, but working early on with an executive coach to help me really understand the importance of Audra Bohannon, who is I love, 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 has the best spirit ever, was such a great resource to me during a challenging time when I had a big job. But I'd say just really understanding the importance of self-awareness and how that translates into how we show up every day. So that's one. And then I think the investment in networking. Networking is a really important skill that people often don't take the time or make the habit to do. And I think that's been extremely important for me in my career.
Mm-hmm. My next question, which may have just answered, is who's the one person in your career that's had the biggest impact on you?
Now, actually, I will give that to my mom, or as you say in the UK, mum. And so I'd say that to my US friends. And they're like, mom, what are you talking about? I'm like, because all my UK friends say mum. But, you know, my mother is one of those people who is just ordinary, but extraordinary, because she truly believes, Chris, that her children can do anything. And that's how we were raised. Like, you know, we didn't have a lot, but she instilled the importance of reading and education and arts and all those things. And if I were to tell her today, I think I'm going to be a brain surgeon, she'd be like, you can do it. And so she, with no question at all,
honestly, no questions. I have this, because I came from quite a hard upbringing, and it was this always this, I could feel everyone around me, even my parents, friends, family, there was this sort of victim mentality.
Yeah.
That we came from poverty and that's it, that this is the best we're going to get. And that always frustrated me. So with Robin, even though she's free, we've been doing this for about a year now. She must have picked it up at nursery, where she came home and said, I can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh.
And it's the first time I heard it. And now we have a game where I say, what can you do, Robin? And she says, anything I want, Daddy.
Oh,
and I say, and I start the day saying it to her, and I say it, Even before she goes to bed, I say, what can we do, Robin? And she's like, anything I want, Daddy. Because I want her to grow up with that mindset of, and now anything, like literally.
That's right. Literally.
I can't do something is almost not in her vocabulary.
That's like, right. My wife's always like, crying on here.
My wife's like, so, you don't always have to say it, Chris. I'm like, no. I want her to, cause so whenever she gets too frustrated and says, I can't do that. And I say, what can you do? I can do anything I want, Daddy. And then we go through it and we try, even like a puzzle. We were doing a puzzle together, literally the other day. She was getting frustrated with the puzzle. And I was like, well, can you use like anything I want? And then she tried again for another few minutes and she did it. And I was like, well done. And again, because I grew up with the opposite of that and kind of slowly worked my way out of it. Really, you know, I can do this. And then slowly but surely, I was like, I can do whatever I want. And that's how kind of me and Shane are. Like, he was like, oh, why are you going to start this podcast, Chris? You've never worked a day in HR. And I was like, why not?
Right. That's right. Those are powerful words. I say that to my children all the time, all four of them. You can be anything you want to do. You can do anything that you want to do. Yeah. You have to put in the work. But those are powerful words to speak to a child or speak to anyone.
Anyone. I do it all the time now. Adult friends. Yeah, I can't do that. Well, why not? Why not? Right. And they're like... And sometimes they don't know why not, but they're so conditioned that they just, the initial default is why not. So I just want to, we took more than 30 seconds there, but I thought it was important for people to listen to as well, as I definitely wouldn't
that
be where.
That is important.
Yeah. And I love that as well, that you have that with your children and that was instilled and by your mum. And I'm sure, and as you recognize as part of why you're successful and where you are today. I love that. And the last question, you know, what advice would you give to sort of the HR leaders of tomorrow that, you know, working their way up the ranks to sit in that seat that you are in now?
Number one, be authentic. I tell people that all the time. And I know that's hard and harder sometimes as you're going up the ranks, right? Because you feel like you have to
portray something.
Right, exactly. But be your authentic self. Do good. Build relationships. You have to execute and deliver results, but you know, don't forget who you are and where you came from. Mm-hmm. It's also important that self-awareness, and I'm a powerful believer. I mentioned that Audra helped me with that. So the importance of understanding how powerful self-awareness is. Stay curious and focus on solving problems and really think about who your customer is. Because if you focus on those two things, you will be successful. But you know, don't ignore the importance of the last thing that I'll say, and I can go on and on, is be deliberate. Be deliberate about every choice you make, every relationship you build, every decision you make, because those are things that typically come later in career, but you can start to work on those things now.
What do you mean by being deliberate?
Being deliberate about understanding the role relationships, for example, some relationships are very strategic, right? You have to understand who you need to partner with.
Oh, I see.
We get sometimes very caught up in like, I don't like that person. Well, you don't have to like them, but understand the role that person plays and the work that you're doing, the project that you're working on, your career. So that's an example. Be deliberate about networking. Be deliberate about the projects that you take on or you ask for. And sometimes when you're younger career, you take whatever project is given to you, and that's okay. But be deliberate about how you engage and how you work on that project. And just, you know, taking the time to be thoughtful. Yeah. Those are really important things the advice that I often give to younger people.
Amazing. Well, I've absolutely loved this. So thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you had fun too.
Me too. Well, it was fun just talking about my work and my children and my stuff. So
this is
fun.
What it's thank about, you. Right? We started the show to bring that sort of true, authentic voice of the people that I was speaking to behind closed doors for many, many, many years. I was like, I'd love to just create a platform to share the great work and celebrate that. And not just them, not just professionally, but personally. Who is the person behind the job title, right? The face you see on LinkedIn. Who are these people? As well, and I appreciate you. And I can say one thing I would say is you are super authentic, and I love it. The energy and everything.
Thank you.
As well, it's probably the biggest compliment I could give you. Thank you. But enjoy the rest of your day, and I look forward to chatting again soon. And I wish you all the best until then.
All right. Well, thank you. Bye, Chris. Take care.
Bye.